What's up, guys? This is Tobin. I got a chance to get an interview with Stephen Caple Jr. He's the director of Creed II. Did as much of a dive on the film as you could in the 10 minutes I was allotted and got to do it. So just a heads up, if you are going to listen to this interview, there are some spoilers, not really like huge moments of the ending of the movie, but there's a lot of details about the movie that I do discuss with him. So I don't want to piss anybody off. If you guys are going to go see Creed 2, go see Creed 2, then come back and listen to the interview. I think you'll really enjoy it even more. But even if you are thinking about going to see the movie, this is, I think, is something you'll enjoy, especially if you're a fan of the Rocky franchise. All right, I'm very excited about this. It's going to the Ryan Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. And you guys know I'm a huge boxing fan. You guys know Fighters Fury Sundays at 9 a.m. every single week. Although 10 a.m. is coming up after this football season wraps up. But this week, Sunday's at 9 a.m. And I want to go out and talk to the director of Creed II. That is Stephen Caple Jr., who took over the franchise from Ryan Coogler as the director. And the torch was passed over to him. And really, I thought it was a fantastic movie. And so looking forward to talking to him about this. Stephen, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, man, thank you for having me.
The movie was awesome. Went out to see it immediately as it came out. It lived up to everything I was hoping for as a huge Rocky junkie. When you got the opportunity to get to do this project, were you a huge Rocky fan to begin with, or did you have to, like, do the deep dive? How does that go with a franchise like this?
No, as a fan, I was already a fan of the Rocky franchise. I don't know too many people who weren't fans of the franchise. The deep diving goes more to the research. We start to put shots and put the story together more so than anything else.
And how does that go as far as, you know, the spinoff of the original Creed? It's wildly successful. Everybody's buzzing about it. You have all these ways you can go because the story goes, you know, Rocky goes in so many different directions. So how did you ultimately decide that you wanted to tie the bow on the Drago story?
I mean, it was Sly's idea. Sly, when he came up with the idea of making a sequel, he wanted to bring back the Dragos. I think for me, when I jumped on a project and when MGM called me, it was about adding that layer of depth to the Dragos, making sure they weren't the same Drago from 1986. So if you really look at it, it's like a spinoff, obviously, with Creed and it being successful. We did a sequel to it. So you see those characters progress. But then it's also a spinoff to Rocky IV because you bring the Dragos back. So there's a lot of homage being paid and a lot of tribute to what was going on in that era in 86 while making it more modern and today so people can relate to these characters.
Yeah, it was definitely an awesome thing because you get Ivan Drago, like the first time we really see him outside of training his son, he's having this dialogue with Rocky, and you're like, wow, these guys never really spoke in the first movie. There was only just this deep hatred because he killed his friend in the ring, but you never really got to get that soul-to-soul hatred from each other.
Yeah, they never even had a sit-down moment. I mean, if you go back to even Rocky IV, at the end of the matchup, usually in every Rocky, he goes up to the opponent. You know, they shake hands and hug. They say, good fight. You know, we did it. But even in Rocky IV, they never even communicated. You know, obviously he spazzed out Ivan Drago and took out his entire crew, beating Russia. But in this go around, yeah, we wanted that sit down. We wanted to catch people up. We wanted to show them as human beings, most importantly. And I think that conversation showed you a side of Ivan Drago you haven't necessarily seen before. You think he's not about to have any lines, just like Rocky IV, and then we surprise you with a whole monologue, basically, letting you know that, you know, he's there and the reason why he's there and how much pressure he's put on his son.
Yeah, you guys did a wonderful job. Like, I went with my wife, and she's like, man, I didn't really even know who I wanted to win. They did such a good job of telling the Drago story with it. I mean, it was really beautifully done.
Appreciate that. Don't tell Mike that.
I won't know. Well, listen, I was Team Creed the whole way. It was funny because you guys, the way you started the film with taking on Danny Wheeler, the guy played by Andre Ward, I was like, man, I almost wish you guys spent a lot of time on that because that was such a crazy storyline from the first one because I'm a huge boxing geek, so like seeing a guy like Andre Ward get on camera like that and he does that to Adonis in the first movie. I was like, man, I almost want to know what that the deep dive in that. And it was still cool. You guys tied in with the car and all that, but I thought, mm-hmm. like, you know, your mind goes in all these places.
No, completely, man. That was a hard one for us, too, man, just being a fan of the first one and the fact they took approach by using actual boxers. Yeah, I was just talking to Andre Ward yesterday. I'm glad that's funny that you brought it out because I'm like, hey, man, did you check out the movie yet? Because I've been in the international for the film. But, yeah, it was a tough one because we wanted to bring it back, but it wasn't necessarily about the belt. More so it was about the Mustang, like you said. You know, it was like they have a deeper story. They have a little bit of history there. And when you're trying to put a movie together with so many moving pieces and so many characters, it's like which pieces stick out the most? What history is more powerful? This Mustang beat, or you know, this storyline about how this guy basically is trying to get, you know, avenge his father's name, and his father killed this other guy's pops, you know, and so that obviously had the most weight to it. But I still wanted to bring back the Mustang bit and the fact that the Mustang used to be his father's, used to be Creed's father's, which I don't think was stated in part one. So it does have some emotional weight as well. So, yeah, it was a tough one, man. I mean, when you switching gears like that, you want to, again, bring in some of the aspects of Creed 1 and make sure you don't leave anything unturned. But when you're dealing with someone whose presence is as strong as the Dragos in the Rocky franchise, it's like, all right, we have to make sure their story is fleshed out, too.
We're talking to Stephen Cable Jr. He's the director of Creed 2. It's absolutely fantastic. It's in theaters now. I know we've been talking a lot about the film, but excuse me, I was geeking out over it. It's one of my favorite franchises. So, Stephen, the news, it was revealed on social media. Sly put out the videos of the speech he gave to you guys, kind of passing, you know, the official torch of the franchise over to Michael and to you guys of taking it, and he kind of retired the character. Did you think he was serious when that was going down behind the scenes and now kind of all the fallout of him announcing that Rocky's done, that this is Adonis's story to run with now, and it's completely in that hand?
You know, I wish I knew the real answer. Being there on set, man, we felt it, to be totally honest with you, while we were making the movie. Sly, he would improv a lot of the stuff in the script sometimes, you know, and there was moments where we just felt like, man, we're going in a direction where this might feel like the last time we're actually seeing Rocky. You know, we definitely went in the direction where it was like it's supposed to be a Creed movie, but you felt the energy on set. And he gave that powerful speech, man. I think it's cut short on social media, but, like, it had everyone in tears, myself, Mike. You know, we were in the desert, empty land, and we were all together. And that was the last thing we shot in a movie. And so it was a surprise to us, really. And we don't know how to take it just yet. Like, we're glad we were a part of that, but, like, part of me is always, like, knowing Sly, man, he's always willing to put up a fight, you know what I mean? So I feel like he may come back.
You know,
I feel like he's definitely going to probably rehash it. Like, I never feel like it's over with Rocky until it's over, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, I'm sure, no spoiling about where you want the next one to go, but I've heard Michael say that he wants to do the number of, like, four or five Creed films. Like, when this is all done, how much time before you yourself are thinking about, well, all right, what do we do for the next one? Where does the story go from here? Do you do that? Do you let the whole project sit and see what the reaction to it is, or does your mind start wandering immediately?
Immediately. I mean, even before the script. I mean, when I was writing this one with my writing partner, Joel, I was already thinking about what are the setups for Creed 3 and Creed 4.
That's awesome.
Just to leave some open-ended questions, where to go, you know, don't necessarily tie everything up in a bow, you know, and we did it to a certain extent in the film. But I feel like I just want to see it grow gradually, you know what I mean,
yeah.
in a way that makes sense and organic. Because you don't want it to jump too far ahead and, you know, you're in 3 and 4 and you're like, all right, this is getting ridiculous. You know, you want it to be still feel real and still feel grounded. So I think as long as we can do that, tell a story that way, I think there's going to definitely be more Creeds. But you think about that way beforehand. Mike, it really depends on obviously the audience if they want another one. But Mike definitely had it in back of his mind to probably put out a little bit more.
Well, you guys have did a really awesome job with the sequel, Creed 2. Go out and see it in theaters now, guys, if you haven't. But I can't recommend it enough. You did a great job. Thanks for doing a great job on it, Stephen. And best of luck, continued success in your career and with this franchise.
Thank you so much, man. And again, thank you for having me. And I'm glad you enjoyed the film.
Yeah, man. I loved it. I loved Creed 2. I've said it. Like, look, it's not it's not as I don't like to even say it's not as good as Creed 1, because Creed is just its own identity. Like, it's kind of this own spin-off, and it becomes new. So it's always hard to build off of that because you're expecting a lot. But that's a tough situation that Steven was walking into. Like, he was taking over a film from Ryan Coogler, the original director, who wanted to do Black Panther. And that's a lot of pressure. You know, you kind of got, like, Sly Stallone there. He's the caretaker of the franchise. And Michael B. Jordan, who's becoming one of the biggest superstars in Hollywood. And, you know, I thought they did a very good job. It really does. Like, it picks from a lot of different Rocky franchises. Like, he mentions, you know, the Rocky. It kind of comes, like, the characters are from Rocky IV. And if I had more time with them, I would have done the deep dive into, like, I thought that the storyline it was most like was really Rocky III. You know, the idea that your main character, your protagonist, loses to an unstoppable antagonist and then really doubts his ability to come back. I mean, that was really Rocky III, which, you know, I think is probably the most inconsistent of all the films. Look at me sound like some Siskel and Ebert expert. But, like, yeah, it's still, like, there's every Rocky movie. Even Rocky V. Like, I have moments of Rocky that I just look for as entertainment. But Rocky III, I thought, was the most inconsistent of the films of, you know, what made it great. But that was the most powerful part of it, was Rocky losing, him losing his trainer, him having to go find himself, him not believing in himself, him having to train in a whole different way. And so you got the characters of Rocky IV, but you really got, I feel like, the story arc of Rocky III. It was really, really awesome. So great job by Stephen Caple Jr. I can't recommend it enough, guys. Like, it really was. It was a good job and super entertaining. That's what I want from my Rocky films. You know, like, people are always like, oh, this one sucks. It's like, yeah, I just want entertainment. And, you know, again, like, we could have gone in the direction. It's like, these are the things you want in a Rocky film, all right? You want an awesome fight scene with to wrap up the story that you've been building the whole time. You need an A1 montage with kick-ass music to get everybody fired up and feeling great about themselves. And then you want, as the movies go on, you still want those moments from Sly Stallone and now an Adonis to really riff off each other, and memorable lines that you'll drop on each other. Like, those are the big things that everybody wants to hear. And if they are going to harken back to a certain moment, those little Easter eggs they leave all, those, I love those too. That's fantastic. So thanks to Steven. Go out and see Creed 2.